International condemnation at Israel's murder of four Al Jazeera journalists in Gaza. And it's not the first time Israel has killed at least 237 media workers since its war began. But these and other killings before have gone unpunished. So what does this impunity mean for journalism? This is Inside Story. Hello there and welcome to the program. I'm Nick Clark. Israel has been widely condemned for murdering four Al Jazeera journalists in Gaza who were killed deliberately for telling the world about the horrors of the genocide. Israel often trumpets it is the only democracy in the Middle East, yet it's killed more journalists in Gaza than any other conflict in history. It's murdered others before too, including Al Jazeera journalist Shireen Abu Akleh, shot dead 3 years ago while reporting in the occupied West Bank. Like correspondent Anas al-Sharif, who was killed on Sunday, her work exposing Israel's violence and repression of Palestinians was to bring death at the hands of Israeli assassins. Now, under international law, deliberately targeting journalists is a war crime. Yet Israel continues to do so with impunity. So what does that mean, not just for covering the Gaza genocide, but for journalism in general? And are there wider consequences from the level of Israel's unpunished attacks on the media? We'll get to our guests shortly, but first this report from Amma Boateng.
Anas al-Sharif was one of Gaza's most prominent voices, documenting Israel's genocide from the north of the Strip. Mohammed Kreker was also a correspondent. He often reported on the destruction of Gaza City. Ibrahim al-Thaher worked with them as a cameraman, along with Mohammed Nofal. His pictures showed the hardships endured by Palestinians, all of them murdered by a targeted Israeli strike. They were in a media tent in Gaza City on Sunday night, outside Al-Shifa Hospital. They'd been covering Israel's expanded military assault and occupation. Knowing his life was at risk, Anas wrote his own goodbye. Al Jazeera Media Network has condemned what it called a targeted assassination and urged the international community to halt Israel's attacks.
We've seen the killing of more than 200 journalists in the past 2 years in Gaza. This is an unprecedented number. This crime against the press, against journalism, will not stop as long as impunity continues. We are calling for a very strong international reaction.
Israel has killed several Al Jazeera journalists since it launched its war on Gaza. Here, Anas is covering the funeral of two of his Al Jazeera colleagues, Ismail Al-Hul and Rami Al-Rifi, killed in Israeli attacks last year. Veteran journalist Wael Al-Dakhdou was targeted and injured. His son Hamza, who also worked for Al Jazeera, was killed last January, as well as Wael's wife, daughter and grandson. Israel's assault on Al Jazeera journalists and freedom of press in general is not new. In 2021, it bombed the media building in Gaza that housed the offices of the Associated Press and Al Jazeera. In 2022, journalist and household name across the Arab world, Shireen Abu Akleh, was shot and killed by an Israeli sniper while reporting from the occupied West Bank. And the Israeli government has banned Al Jazeera from operating in Israel and the occupied West Bank. Before he was murdered, Anas al-Sharif urged Palestinians not to be silenced. And many are now asking what it will take for Israel to be held fully accountable for its actions. Amma Boateng, Al Jazeera, for Inside Story.
All right, now let's bring in our guests. In London, we have Ahmed Najjar, who's a Palestinian writer and political analyst. In Paris, Dominique Pradelier, who's president of the International Federation of Journalists. And in Washington, D.C., Omar Rahman, a fellow at the Middle East Council on Global Affairs. Thanks to all of you for joining us. So every day we report, of course, here on Al Jazeera on the grim roll call of Palestinians blown up, shot and targeted by the Israeli army. And now we add these journalists to the death toll, journalists who were reporting on Israeli actions and killed for daring to tell the world. Ahmed, if I may start with you, tell us first of all about the work of Anas al-Sharif and how he and his team reported the war and cut through all the noise?
Thanks for having me. Yes, Anas at some point really felt like a close person to me, although I've never really met him in person. But he was born and brought up in the same refugee camp that I was born in Jabalia refugee camp. And in the last couple of years, I've been following him and following the coverage on the Israeli war crimes in Gaza, in particular in the north of Gaza, when the north of Gaza was completely cut off and not many journalists were left there. He was almost the only journalist delivering the news. And that was like a lifeline for me, particularly as my family were there and I didn't know, I obviously couldn't speak to them. And and through him, I could see what was happening there.
Yeah, and like all the our journalists that are reporting there from Gaza, he was very courageous and very widely known, Ahmed, in the Arab world.
Yes. Absolutely. I think that's one of the reasons why he was targeted, because he was widely known in the Arab world and he had many followers. So as Al Jazeera as well has many followers. And as we see that particularly Al Jazeera correspondents have been targeted. And I think there's been about 11 or 10 Al Jazeera correspondents being killed in Gaza within the last 2 years. And I think that tells so much. And also, well, the fact that the timing of killing him and along with his colleagues, it tells so much about what Israel might be planning and of committing more and more war crimes in Gaza. As we know that Israel has announced that they will expand their attacks on Gaza and have a full control over Gaza City. So we are really fearing what might be coming in. And Israel obviously wants to commit its genocide in silence, obviously is not allowing international journalists to come in, and it wants to make sure that no one knows what's going on in as they are furthering their war crimes in Gaza City.
You know, we're shocked every day, aren't we, about the ruthless slaughter that's going on in Gaza. But if it's possible, this is even more chilling, isn't it, Omar? Killing to stop the world seeing the reality on the ground.
Yes, certainly. I mean, first of all, let me say I'm sorry for the loss of your colleagues who are being slaughtered in Gaza for trying to bring a voice, trying to tell the story of what's been happening there for the past 22 months, and are being targeted for that because Israel is trying to silence those voices, silence, and prevent the international community from hearing it. This reporter was very prominent in the Arab world, but there have been others, many others, hundreds of journalists who have been killed. And Israel is obviously unable to stop people from recording on their phones and sharing through social media to an extent, although it's tried very hard to prevent that from happening. And this has exposed its genocide. I mean, this is the most documented genocide or war in history in terms of the war crimes that people are seeing on a daily basis. And that has led to an international outcry for years now, for many months, as people have borne witness to what Israel is doing. But these people have a platform. Al Jazeera is the only mainstream media network in the whole world, the international media that is covering it from the ground. And the Western media has been very complicit in what Israel is doing in terms of manufacturing the consent for Israeli crimes, as well as manufacturing consent for the governments that are supporting Israel, that are providing money and diplomatic cover and military arms for what Israel is doing. So those media outlets have had a very important role. The one they can't control is Al Jazeera, who actually has correspondents on the ground, and it's doing that through sheer murder.
You mean, Omar, it is international media who are kind of complicit in this by allowing Israel to act with impunity because there is no criticism from them?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not just the way they frame it and the language they use, which, just really shape the perception and try to manipulate the public opinion in Israel's favor. But it's also, you know, the fact that Israel has denied access to international media for, 675 days now, without much of a peep. People are starting to raise that issue on an individual level as journalists who are upset about it. But really, there has been no, you know, real pressure on Israel to allow those journalists in. I mean, if these media organizations have real leverage that they could be using, they could refuse to platform Israeli officials unless their journalists are allowed access. They could refuse or at least caveat every Israeli claim that is reported with the line that Israel is refusing to allow independent verification by their journalists. But they don't do that. They do that for Hamas. The New York Times says, you know, the Gaza Health Ministry, the Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry says this and that. But they don't do that for Israel, despite Israel holding the cards and controlling the narrative.
Okay, we're going to come back to that in a minute. So, Dominic, I want to bring you in. Sorry to keep you waiting so long, but we wanted to set out the stall. So, Dominic, at the IFJ, you've been gathering evidence about the targeting of Palestinians since October 2023. What have you found?
Yes, the International Federation of Journalists has been gathering evidences and is, of course, gathering evidences to put the cases in the International Criminal Court in the Hague. Of course, we are doing that. But on behalf of the 600,000 journalists and media workers we represent around the world, I want to say three things. First, deep sorrow and fierce anger against the journalist killers, especially Anas al-Sharif and his colleagues. Second, fierce anger because they have been deliberately targeting to prevent them from showing the genocide. And if Israel, extreme right Israel government, has now only one thing to do, kill journalists to show the genocide, it means that they are at the end of what they want to do. Now, the complete world is watching, and is watching much more carefully than before. And I see for evidences that the European Council, for instance, interrupt to say no to arms bringing to Israel. The Norwegian Fund has been doing the same thing. And we hope this will be help for IFG to go to The Hague and show how and where was the genocide complicity, how and where and when were the journalist killers and their sponsors and punish them.
Dominic, you say the world is watching, is very closely watching, but hasn't the world been watching since October 2023 and this is still happening? This kind of murder is going on all the time.
Yes, that's exactly why I use the word watching, because they did watch, but they didn't interfere. And enough is enough. We have been asking all international organizations. We have been doing demonstrations all around the world. You've seen Sydney's 300,000 marches and so and so. The Israeli-bound French are numerous. The Americans-bound French are numerous as well. So it's hard, but I'm sure we are going to succeed.
Ahmed, we've seen this many times before, haven't we, as we've already discussed and I talked about at the top of the show, not least with the murder of our reporter, Shireen Abu Akleh, who was shot in the back of the head by a sniper. But no one was held to account then, and so it goes on.
Yeah, well, look, this is not an isolated incident, as we all know. There are more than 200 journalists have been killed, more than 700 aid workers and medical workers have been killed. And also to mention that also the incident with Ouda Hathleen, who was killed by a settler, who filmed himself being killed by a settler who helped with winning the No Other Land movie. And the settler was released immediately the second day. He wasn't even kept in the jail or anything. He wasn't taken to the court. The settler was released. So we know, and the thing is, we know, and the world knows, the UK government knows, the American government knows, the French government knows, the German government knows that what Israel is doing is genocidal act in Gaza. What Israel is doing is committing war crimes and breaking international law. And I say enough of the lip service that we're hearing from a government, the West in particular. What Israel does, Israel kills, lies, and the West, the Western media wants us to believe it. The Western media believes it. The way they put the lines, carefully put it in, they word it, of how Anas al-Sharif was killed and other incidents, and they try to lay the blame on the victims. So we all know now, it's revealed to everybody that what Israel is doing, and now it's the time for these governments to act. Otherwise, they are complicit. As a matter of fact, they are really complicit. They haven't even stopped selling arms to Israel. The UK is still supplying arms to Israel. So I don't know what more facts and truth we can send out to the world to get them to act and to get them to stop Israel from committing its genocidal acts. Whether that was, we see it is always, I follow the Western media here, and I had an interview yesterday with Al-BC, and the focus on the conversation was on whether Anas al-Sharif was Hamas or not. That was absurd, bizarre focus. And then to see how it's been covered, it's honestly speaking, sickening and disgusting. And
that's the thing, isn't it, Omar? Just coming back to your point, because all too often the Israeli claim and explanation after an event like this is swallowed up by the international media and not questioned. And basically, I guess, is what, to your point, the media is adopting the Israeli narrative.
The thing is, also for us as Palestinians, we are the only people in the world that we have to prove our children are children. We have to prove our schools are schools. We have to prove our hospitals are hospitals. We are guilty. We are guilty. We are taken as guilty unless proven that we are innocent. So it's how could you? We even have to prove that we belong to that land. We even have to prove that this, our houses that we live in, are ours, not theirs. So we are at the position where we feeling it's you have to. Almost to prove that you're a humanity, that you are a human being. So imagine that we are being put and treated by the whole world in that position that we Palestinians have to provide to the world that we are a human being. We are, our schools are schools. Our journalists are not Hamas members. Our doctors are doctors. They shouldn't be abducted like Abu Safiya doctor. Our teachers are teachers. Our children are children. So there's so many that, and we know the world knows it at this point of time.
Okay.
And I really feel like right now is no, it's like almost no point of trying to convince the world or tell the world what's going on. They know it.
Omar, I'm going to come to you in just a second, but I just want to ask Dominique this. You say that you are investigating all aspects of this to be presented to the International Court of Justice. Remind us what international law says about attacking journalists in these kind of situations.
Well, up to now, international laws don't protect especially journalists, just as civilians. So what the International Federation of Journalists proposed, and is very easy to do, is to have an international convention that could be adopted next month by the UN General Assembly with concrete points in it to prevent journalist killers and their sponsors to act, because now we can go and sue in the egg, but we want to prevent it. And it is very easy. All governments, all journalists, all media workers should say publicly they will support a special convention, international convention, to protect journalists. It's so easy to do. I send it a text whenever you want. It has been written by an international jurist, and it could help around the world, not only in Gaza, but around the world. If we don't do it, the hero from Gaza will be forgotten after a while, and it could be terrible. This hero who proved to the entire world with seriousness and quality that they could do and tell what was going on in their own country. So it's so important to help for Shirin Abu Akleh and her sisters, for all Anas El-Shari and all who follow them, who are models and heroes for the whole world.
Okay, Omar Ruckman in Washington, D.C., very interested to hear what you think about that and how such a convention to protect journalists, how that would likely go down in the United States, especially given the U.S. president's position on the media and the war that he's waging. He seems to be waging on the press.
Well, I think a convention would be good, obviously. It would be helpful, but I don't think Israel would pay attention to it. It's not paying attention to any other conventions. And whether, you know, a convention exists, it's about whether it's upheld by the international community. And Israel has lived under a shield of impunity its entire existence, stretching from 1948 until today. A country like Israel of only a few million people would never conceive of committing a genocide in broad daylight if it felt that it would face the repercussions from that. But it doesn't, and so it continues on. When it comes to Donald Trump, certainly, I mean, this is a man who has no real affinity for international law. He doesn't care about freedom of the press. Unless a journalist is there to glorify him, he actually treats the press as the enemy, right? That's the language he uses. So I don't think Donald Trump cares about Palestinians. He doesn't care about journalists or media freedom or international law or the rest of it. So I don't think the convention would have any force when it comes to American policy. But that doesn't mean you would see the American president try to undermine a convention from going through at the UN.
All right, Dominic. Back to you. What do you make of that response?
Trump doesn't care anybody else but him. So it is not a reason why we should just show everything away from us. It is very important that the UN takes again the hand and vote an international special protection for journalists. If they don't do that next September, or the quicker they can, the 2nd of November, which is supposed to be International Day against impunity, will be just only a cloud of nothing. So they have to do it, and we have to implement it.
But Dominic, what about Omar's point that Israel just rides roughshod on any UN resolution relevant to itself, and certainly with regard to a convention like this?
Yeah, well, you know, if you cut arms giving to Israel, if you cut economic links with Israel, as we made with South Africa when there was apartheid, if we do the same thing as we do to the Russian now, the war will stop immediately or very soon, I tell you.
Okay. If we can go on to you, Ahmed, now, I'm curious to know what you think about, we go back to the deaths themselves of our colleagues here at Al Jazeera, and that they didn't, in fact, die in vain, did they? Because now there is a growing realization around the world about the reality on the ground and a growing momentum to get something done. Are you hopeful that will be achieved, that progress will be made to stop this?
It's a tough question to predict what they might do, because Israel has been acting with impunity for far too long. And right now to see, because, you know, when I think about it and I think and I look at previous genocides that they were committed, and I think how were they stopped? All previous genocides that were committed, they were never stopped by diplomatic effort. They either were stopped by severe sanction or by military intervention. So now to think about, will the world get their army and intervene against Israel to stop the killing of the Palestinians? Or will the world actually impose really genuine severe sanction on Israel that impacts its position in the world? I don't know to what extent that is possible. However, we are seeing that the world is, well, what I would like to say, waking up to the fact that Israel is committing a genocide. And I want to mention that in the Western media, that's an important point. None of the Western media calls what's happening in Gaza is a genocide, in spite of the fact that all international organizations call it a genocide. Genocide experts and scholars call it a genocide. So to answer your question, and I think we might still be a little bit further away from
okay. All right, listen, I want to move on. So Omar, so coming towards the end of the programme, the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer said he's gravely concerned about the repeated targeting of journalists in Gaza, and there have been similar condemnations from other leaders. Omar, do you think statements like that will make any difference? Does that give you any confidence that things will change for journalists on the ground in these kind of situations?
I have zero confidence in that. I could care less for the words of Keir Starmer unless they're backed by any type of action. They say these words, but look what's happening in their own cities. Our colleagues here are in London and Paris. What has happened on the streets of London and Paris? What's happening now when people are peacefully protesting a genocide? They are being brutalized. They're being brutalized there. Old men and women that are holding signs calling for action are being brutalized on the streets, arrested and thrown in prison in Berlin. And in the United States, not so much on the streets, but on the campuses, we've seen what's happened in terms of, you know, shutting down any type of dissent. So these countries are both complicit in supporting Israel throughout this genocide. At this point, you know, 675 days in, they offer weak condemnations for what Israel's doing. But unless they're backed by action, I have zero confidence. We saw the EU have the opportunity to take the type of action that Dominique just mentioned, which is it is the most significant trade partner of Israel, to take action based on its own laws and treaties to not support a country or not have free trade with a country that's committing human rights violations. I mean, is there any more evidence that those crimes, these human rights violations, these war crimes are being committed, and Netanyahu is being welcomed in Washington, D.C., despite the ICC warrant for his arrest, and he's okay. being shown on television and allowed to explain and spread disinformation? It's ridiculous.
Right. Thanks, Omar. Ahmed, final word to you. Do you have any faith that there will one day be a reckoning for Israel?
I think eventually the Palestinians will have their rights and the Palestinians will have a country of their own eventually. And I hope that happens sooner rather than later. And I hope that doesn't happen after many more people getting killed. But eventually Palestinians will get to the stage where they will have their own state and enjoy their freedom and their basic rights.
Well, as we remember, Anas and our colleagues, we do know that now is not the time to look away. We will continue our coverage come what may. That's all we've got time for. Thanks to our guests, Ahmed Najjar, Dominique Pradelier and Omar Rahman. Thank you. And thank you too for watching. You can see the programme again at any time just by visiting our website, aljazeera.com is the address. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on X. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Nick Clark, and the entire team here, it's goodbye for now.